to God who is the head of my life. Honor to Pastor Rasko, all the other ministers on the roster, deacons, trustees, friends, saved and unsaved. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. I would be remiss if I went any further without first saying thank you to Pastor Rasko. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we know people don't usually like to relinquish the pit. So I say thank you. But then I would like us all to stand on our feet and give Pastor Rasko a rousing round of applause for just being the leader that he is, and tell him happy birthday. Amen. Amen. He's worthy. Amen. 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 Let us give him his flowers while he can yet smell the roses. Amen. Amen. Pastor was kidding, y'all. At least y'all thought he was kidding, talking about I'm nervous. My wife, she's not here with me. In her absence, I'm praying for her and her parents. But that's normally my guaranteed amen. That's normally my guaranteed. So I did a little recruiting, some friends from my old job, our visitors. I want to thank you, Andrea and Brandy, for showing up. Thank you so much. So I got three guaranteed amens. Amen. So if you bow your heads and pray with me, please. Father God, we thank and praise you for yet another glorious opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim your word to be true. Father God, hide me behind the cross that the people may see none of me and all of you. Use my mind to do your thinking, my mouth to do your talking. Pray, Father God, that a sinner might be saved and that the Christians would be edified. Most of all, let you be glorified. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In a very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible this morning, but she's going to place it on the screen in the NIV, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When you got it, say amen. Amen. And I'm just going to read these verses for your hearing. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'd like to go back to verse 28 where he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'd like to extract from this text a little simple subject titled The Perfect Invitation. When I think back over my life, I'm thinking of the times when folks were handing out invitations. In school, I remember invitations going out for various parties, and I didn't get an invitation. Made me feel some kind of way. I thought that I had did something wrong. I thought maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe I didn't look the part. Maybe they thought I didn't meet the social status to attend the party. You know, and then as I got older, it happened again. Where in church, seen somebody passing out invitations. Go over here, pass out the invitations. Go over here, give out some invitations, and I just know I'm gonna get one. But never do they come my way to bring me an invitation. My feelings was hurt. I started to ask myself again, what is it that I'm doing wrong? Why did I not get an invitation? Why didn't they find it in their heart to scribble my name on the guest list? Why didn't they pass my way and drop an envelope with my name on it? I tell you what, there's something about invitations that can make you excited when you get it, but make you feel downhearted when you don't. I think of these invitations and my mind is arrested, my mind is captured, because invitations have a tendency in the world to be selective. Yeah, they want to hand them out to the people that fit the right criteria, if you will. You know what I'm saying. And before we be too hard, we've all been on the other side of handing out invitations. Invitations have a way of being for certain occasions. They only come around certain times of the year. And we reach that time of the season where folks have invited you to the Thanksgiving charade. Folks are inviting you to the Christmas parties, and everybody's gearing up for the New Year's Eve big bash. Invitations have a way of being selective and for certain occasions. But also, invitations can have hidden agendas. Yeah, I'm gonna catch us all in a moment. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying, when you get the invitation, it's good that you got it. But oftentimes, we get it because we're capable of bringing something to the party. Y'all not gonna agree with me this morning. I know. But let's be transparent. Whenever I put the guest list together for Lindsay Jr., I put the guest list together for some folks that could bring him a gift. I didn't want everybody showing up just to eat the vittles. You can always get some folks to show up when the food is free. It don't matter what the occasion is, even if it's a repast, when the food is free, folks will show up. But it's hard to get some folks to show up and bring a gift. So invitations can have some hidden agendas. Not only do they ask for a gift, but oftentimes, even in church, Pastor, I'm sure you get them across your desk, get the invites to come to the pastor's anniversary or the church anniversary. Well, they want you to get a table, buy so many seats. Invitations can have hidden agendas. Simply put, invitations can make us feel burdened, stressed, or frustrated. Why? Because when I get that invitation, I don't have the money to get the gift. I want to show up. I want to go bad, but I don't want to go empty-handed. And that has a tendency to lead to some frustration. Can't afford to get my gear right, my wardrobe together. Can't get my suit right. Can't get the clothes together to go to the occasion. Frustrated when receive the invitation. Truth be told, invitations should make us feel this way. Invitations should be a grand thing. And as we look at these verses, in particular, verse number 28, we're going to look at the perfect invitation. For it's sent by the perfect person. Sent by nobody other than Jesus Christ himself. And I want to go ahead and let you in on these points just in case Pastor get the hook and pull me down before I get through them. So I'm going to cover 5 points today. I'm going to talk about the host. We'll talk about the guest list. We'll talk about the dress code. We'll look at the cost. And finally, we'll look at the directions. All those are the makings of an invitation. So we look at Jesus here in chapter 11. He has come up to this point after he's had some conversation with some messengers that came from John the Baptist. That John had got wind that Jesus was in the neighborhood doing some preaching and teaching. But he wondered why he hadn't come to get him out of jail yet. He said something like this, "Hey, are you the Christ or should I look for another?" Jesus told the messengers, "This is what I want you to do. Tell John what you see and what you hear." Yeah. Tell him what you see and what you hear. Lame folk are being made to walk. Deaf folk are being made to hear. Blind folk are being made to see. Most of all, the poor having the good news preached to them. Tell John what you hear and what you see. Jesus moves on to further his teaching, shifts gears a little bit, starts to teach about some rejection, started to pass out some woes and make some correlations to some places where he had been in ministry. Bethesda, Chorazin, Capernaum. He says, listen, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, listen, have they seen the things that I've done? Have they seen the miracles that I had done? They would still be here today. And he moves on. He says, listen, he takes another shift and he starts to validate who he is. In fact, he says it like this in verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So Jesus now flips the script after he talks about how he has been rejected in his hometown by his own people. I'm going to drop this in for free. Have you ever been rejected by some folks in your own house? Have you ever been rejected by some folks in your own city? Have you ever been rejected by some folks on the job? Been rejected by some folks who claim to love you, claim to know you, but yet they reject you. Trying to do everything right, trying to live right, trying to be right, trying to talk right, trying to dress right, trying to remove cussing out the language, but yet folks still reject you. So Jesus moves to establish his authority, and I'm going to sum it up like this. He says, basically, listen, I and my Father are one. And now I have the right to have you come to the Father. But if you want to come to the Father, you got to come through me. What an invitation. So then he moves on from a universal call to his own people to an individual call to everyone. And that's where these verses pick up. So the first thing he says, and I'm going to look at some words here and see if we can't elaborate and get a better understanding of what a perfect invitation looks like, feels like, and smells like. He says, come unto me. First thing I want to talk about is the host. Look at who this invitation is coming from. You know, We would love to get an invitation from Barack and Michelle Obama. We love to get an invitation from Oprah Winfrey. For the sports folks, we'd love to get an invitation from Michael Jordan to come and sit up at their house. That would be a good thing. We'd be all excited. But truth be told, we'd also be asking the question, why would they send me an invitation? They really don't know me. They really ain't been around me. So why would they send me an invitation? So we look at the perfect invitation comes from the perfect host. And I just want to say it like this. Jesus knows us. He knows every hair that's on our head. Not only does he know us, but he loves us. You say, Reverend, why would you say that he loves us? Why? Because the Bible says that he died for us. Not only does he love us, he also cares and protects us. This invitation is not coming from some random stranger. It's coming from the King of Kings. It's coming from the Lord of Lords. It's coming from the Great I Am. It's coming from the bright and morning star. It's coming from the lily in the valley. I say this invitation is coming from the great host. It's not just some random invitation. God knows what we've gone through, so he sends out the invitation to everybody. He's been touched, he felt, and he feels everything that you and I have been going through. So we have the host. Next I want to look at is the guest list. He says, come unto me all. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I said, he says, come unto me all. See, a lot of times we don't know when to get our shout on. All don't mean y'all. You included in all. I'm included in all. Even though I didn't do everything right, I'm still included in all. In fact, the Bible says it like this, whosoever will, let him come. My God, look at the guest list. All. You know, this is a special invite for you and for I. I can't have your seat. And guess what? You can't have my seat. My invitation is for me. Your invitation is for you. And we've got to learn how to be excited about the invitation when it comes from the right people. In this case, Jesus. Not only should we be excited, but when you look back over your life, here's the fact check. Look back over your life and ask yourself, do I really deserve an invitation from the King of Kings? I know you're dressed up looking cute this morning. You probably feel like, yeah, you deserve it, but let me use myself. I didn't deserve no invitation. Why? Because I was mean at a point in my life. I told some lies on some folks. Truth be told, I beat up some folks. I tricked some folks. I set some traps for folks. I dug ditches for folks. Before y'all be so hard on me, I need you to fact check yourself. Because we weren't born into this world saved. All of us have been delivered from something. And good news, if you ain't been delivered, you might need to come to the front of the church when this service is over. Because if you haven't been delivered, we're still walking in darkness. But I'm so grateful that he looked beyond my faults, decided to supply my every need, sent out an invitation to a wretch like me. Oh, Lord, that's good news. I know some folks in your life try to make you feel like you're not worth a hill of beans. I grew up in the projects a little bit north of Chicago. Yeah, a little north of Chicago in the projects. Had an amazing apartment. Our apartment was real nice. It was all brick. I'm telling you, boy, something about them projects, they had some good apartments, but they didn't have always good people. Y'all grew up, contrary, don't let the car fool you, don't let the clothes fool you. I grew up with some roaches. I grew up with some of them. I remember my wife, who was my high school sweetheart, bringing her to the house. And I remember she had went to use the bathroom, and I heard a noise, Pastor. Some rumbling was going on. A mouse had run across her feet. I felt so embarrassed. Because I lived in the projects with some roaches, with some mice. Folks would say it like this when they saw us. What good thing can come out of the projects? Wow. Folks would look at the outward appearance and decide to cast their ballot on whether or not you're worthy. Jesus cast the net out to everybody. Whether you're in the White House, the big house, or the outhouse, he says all can come to him. Some of us have had some parents to tell us, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You just like your no good daddy. Just like your no good mother. But I got news for you. Jesus even looks beyond that. Cast it out to all. So don't let folks tell you that you're not worthy to come to this party. Don't let folks tell you that you don't have enough money to attend this party. Jesus is not concerned with your bank account. Not concerned with the type of car you drive. Not concerned with the type of house you live in. He says, I want all of y'all to come to me. So not only do we want to look at the guest list, oh, let's take a look at the attire. How should I be dressed for the occasion? What should I have on? He says, ye who are laboring and are heavy laden. So in the Greek, that word labor simply means to work with exhaustion. I used to work 3 jobs, and so I know what it's like to work with exhaustion. But then that phrase heavy laden simply means to be pressed down by the load you're bearing. So what is he looking for? What's the dress list? What should you have on? He's looking for somebody, some people that feel downtrodden, feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulder, feel like you can't make it no further, feel like you can't move no further, feel like your back is up against the wall, feel like you can't make it from one moment to the next. He says, I'm looking for the person who is sick and tired of being sick and tired. Immediately my mind wanders to that woman with the issue of blood. I think of that woman, and I think of the heavy load she must have been bearing. For the Bible says she had been sick a long time. She was sick, had went to the doctors to try to get well. She had spent all she had to try to get well. And even as she heard about Jesus and made her way, pressed with exhaustion,
with a heavy load on her back, she still found her way to Jesus. Jesus, see, here's the thing. Because of her sickness and illness, she was really unclean. You ever felt like an outcast? I got some good news. When you wrong for the world, you just right for Jesus. In this invite, Jesus is simply saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Anybody ever had to taste to see that the Lord is good? Anybody ever felt downtrodden? And you ever felt like your back was up against the wall? You ever felt like you wasn't going to be able to make it from one moment to the next? You looked in the cupboard and the cupboard was bare. You looked around and your children was acting all crazy. Looked at your wife and she wasn't doing right. Looked at your husband and he wasn't doing right. You just didn't know how you was going to make it. Felt like I was at the dead end of my rope. Well, I got some good news. You were right at the point where you're just right for Jesus. Not only do we want to look at the attire, but in that fourth point, let's take a look at the cost. It says, come unto me, all ye. Yeah. That labor and are heavy laden, and I will give. I will give. Look at Jesus. This invitation doesn't have no strings attached. Jesus said, hey, if you show up to my party, I got something that I'm going to give you. He says, I got some rest that I'll give you. I got some peace that I'll give you. I got some joy that I'll give you. I got some salvation that I'll give you. All you got to do is show up to the party. You might be saying, well, I want to pay. Well, I got some news. You can't afford to pay to get in his party. We don't have enough money to get in his party. But I know somebody who paid it all. Over 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, he was hung up for my hang-ups. The Bible says they placed the crown of thorns, Junior, on his head. The Bible also says they pierced him in his side, and the blood came streaming down. Most importantly is he died while he was out there on that cross. 3 days later, he rose with all power in his hand. So Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And my last point as we get ready to get out of here. Sounds like a pretty good party, preacher. Sound like the host is amazing. Sound like the folks gonna be dressed in my kind of clothes. Yeah. But all I need to know from you right now is how do I get there? Yeah. And that last point is come. The very first word, just come. Right where you are, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. He says, all you got to do is come. All you got to do is come to me. You don't have to worry about how you look, how you smell, what you did last night. I know some of us, you might have been on a bar stool drinking your sorrows away. Might have tried to smoke your troubles away. Somebody might have even tried to snort your troubles away. But he says, no matter what you are, I just need you to come. That's the gospel call right there. That's the gospel call. And here's how. When you come, you don't got to do nothing special. You don't have to turn no somersaults. You don't have to turn no flips. You don't have to hubba bubba. The Bible says that if you shall confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord God, thou shalt be saved. That's how you can get in a party. All you got to do is come and give your all to Jesus. The Bible says in Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he says, I will come in and sup with him and He with me. I'm so glad over 30 years ago, I accepted the gospel call. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. I found in him a resting place. Got good news. Well, he made me glad. I don't know about you, but I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within, never to rise no more. Oh, but the master of the sea, he heard. I said 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 he heard my despairing cry. Up from the waters, he lifted me. Now safe am I. The perfect invitation is still available to you. All you have to do is come. The table has been set. The feast has been spread. All you got to do is show up. Come to Jesus just as you are. Don't worry about what nobody else thinks. You just got to come to Jesus just as you are. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, doers of his most holy word.